And so we're on the last of our little mini-series, if you like, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we've taken comfort from, yes, Abraham was a man of exceptional faith, a bit of a trailblazer, an adventurer, a pilgrim. He left all behind to follow God. But Isaac was just an ordinary, nothing remarkable and undistinguished sort of a character. We're encouraged by that God is the same. But what about Jacob? Well, in just a sentence or two, we can say that Jacob is not a trailblazer and he's not an ordinary... He's someone who just blows hot and cold, really. Sometimes he's all enthusiastic and the next minute he's, backslidden. It's a bit like Peter in the New Testament, really. Maybe a bit like us sometimes on a Sunday, you know, we're in church. Lockdown's over, we're normally in church. But come Thursday or Friday, we're struggling a bit with our faith. In fact, with Jacob, there's probably more recorded about him when he's struggling. There's probably more about him written than when he's rejoicing in the Lord, when he's following closely. That's why it's probably a bit of a surprise to find him linked with the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And equally, he's found in Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter, verse 21, he's named among the heroes of the faith. But the point is, he came good. He blew hot and cold. He failed many times. But in spite of his failings, he was loved by God, Psalm 47 tells us. He was chosen by God, Psalm 135 tells us. And clearly, he was held in very high regard by his descendants. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus met the woman at the well at Sychar. And Jesus said, I'll give you water, which is living water, better water than you get from this well. And she said, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? He was clearly held in high regard. He's up there. He's a man of faith. But listen, the reality is, his name, Jacob, means supplanter. Now, I never knew what that, you know, preachers come and say supplanter this and supplanter, and it sounds posh, it sounds very intellectual, and I didn't want to appear too thick, too unintellectual, so I looked it up in the dictionary. And when people say Jacob was a supplanter, what they're saying is that he was a cheat, he was a deceiver, he was a bad man, he was a cheat, yet he was a bad man who came good. He had his name changed to Israel. The nation became named after this cheat. No longer was he to be called Jacob, but he was then called Israel. God changed his name. This bad man, Jacob, supplanter, became Israel, the beloved, the prince with God. So be encouraged. The blood of the Lord Jesus can make the foulest of us clean. So what's Jacob's story? Well, it's found for us in Genesis chapter 25 to chapter 49. So a half of Genesis, really. And those chapters tell us very quickly that he was the younger twin of Isaac. Isaac, the son of Abraham. So he was Jacob was grandson of Jacob. Jacob was grandson of Abraham and the twin son of Isaac. The younger twin, actually. And although he's the younger son, he cheats his older twin Esau out of his birthright. That's in chapter 25 of Genesis. That's where he cheats his brother from the birthright. The birthright meant that the older brother gets twice as much. If there was, we just say two children, the estate would be divided into three, so that the older boy would get two-thirds and the younger boy would get a third. In other words, the older would get twice as much as the younger. That's the birthright. That's how it was. We like to say, no, we treat everybody equally, but that's just how it was. So he cheated his brother out of the birthright, and later in chapter 27, he steals his father's blessing. Now, we might think, well, that's neither here nor there, but it was important. The blessing of the father was important. He was a cheat. You wouldn't think he'd become a man of faith, but he was a nasty person. And when he was found out, he had to flee from home. He had to, and on the first day of his flight from his family, he had a vision of God at a place called Bethel. This is chapter 28 of Genesis, and it's the story of Jacob's ladder. And then he was away from his home for 20 years, spent in Haran. He'd married Leah and Rachel. And then God told him to return home after 20 years. And on the journey home, he had a fresh encounter with God. This is chapter 32 now, at a place called Peniel. Some people call it Peniel. Peniel. And then later on, he joins his son Joseph in Egypt in chapter 46, when there's a famine and he dies. Now, that's his story. But there's two incidents, really. One at Bethel, Jacob's ladder, and one at Peniel, where he wrestled with God. And these are the highlights, the two major crises in his life. And that's really what I want us to look at, these two important incidents. The first one is in chapter 28, where he met with God at Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. And it's the story of Jacob's ladder. Now, we just need to picture the scene here. Jacob is, he's stolen Esau's birthright. He sold it, he got it, if you remember, for a pot of stew, really. Esau came home, he said, I'm famished. And you're cooking some stew. I want that stew. And he said, well, I'll give you this stew if you sell me your birthright. All right, said Esau, you might as well have it. And that's what he did. So he's cheated Esau of his father's blessing, of his birthright, and he cheated him of his father's blessing. He dressed up, you remember, in animal skin to feel hair. He was really a smooth man, truth to tell, but he put on this animal skin so that blind Isaac would just touch his skin and feel that he was a hairy animal. He cheated his blind elderly father. And by chapter 27, he realized that his father was going to die. And Esau said, chapter 27 and verse 41, this is an important verse in many respects, Esau held a grudge against his brother Jacob because of the stolen blessing that his father had given to him. And he said, the days of mourning for my father are near. He's about to die. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. When father dies, I'll kill you. That's what he said. You're a dead man. Well, their mother Rebekah got wind of his intentions, and she favoured Jacob. And she said in verse 43, flee, Jacob. Flee at once. Go to my brother. Go to your uncle Laban, to my brother. So now's our story in chapter 28 and verse 10. The italics there tell us Jacob's dream at Bethel. Here he is going off to flee to Haran. He travelled all day, and when it was getting dark, he stopped for the night and he settled down. And verse 11 says, he slept with a stone as a pillow. I don't know if you've ever had a hard bed to sleep on, but it seems that he dropped off pretty quick. Actually, he had a dream, and the dream was a ladder from earth to heaven. God was at the top, and basically God was saying, you're going to be all right, Jacob. And Jacob wakes up, and that same stone pillar, he makes an altar out of it, and he calls the place Bethel, the house of God. And he says in verse 21, the Lord is now my God. He's now my God. Now picture it, fleeing for his life, he's afraid, he's alone. Strange surroundings, no comforts, not even a bed to lie on, all the emotions. And he has this dream. Verse 12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth, its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. He made the promise again. You'll get this promised land. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you, Jacob, and your offspring. I'm with you. I'll watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I have promised to do. I am the Lord, he says, verse 13. I'm the unchanging God, the God of your father Abraham and Isaac. I'm the same ever faithful God. And we draw application, if you like. Jacob was fleeing, he was troubled, he'd done bad things. He was alone, he was desperate, but God was there. He said, verse 13, I'll give you this land, I'll provide for you. He renews that promise he'd first given to Abraham. He won't cast him out. Verse 15, he says, I'm with you. You flee from Esau, Jacob, but you can't flee from me. I'll be with you. And verse 15, he says, I'll watch over you. I'll bring you back. I won't leave you until I've done what I've promised. And he promised eternal life. I know I'm moving very quickly, but that's the first encounter. The second one is in chapter 32. It's 20 years later at Peniel. Peniel means the face of God. And it was there in chapter 32 that he meets God face to face. He meets with him face to face. 20 years have passed, but chapter 31 and verse 3 tells us, God said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers, to your relatives. Go back. It's time to go back. So Jacob leaves, his father Isaac is dead, Rachel is dead, but Esau isn't. Esau's still alive. That brother who he's cheated, that brother who last time he saw him 20 years ago said, I'm going to kill you. But God said, return. So Jacob returns and he sends out a message, chapter 32 and verse 3. And the message quite simply is this. Go to your brother Esau, and he instructed them, this is what you are to say to my master Esau. Your servant Jacob, your brother Jacob, says, I've been staying with Uncle Laban and remain here. I've done well for myself, and now I'm wanting to find favour in your eyes. He wanted to see how the land lied, really. And listen to them, what came back, verse 6, when the messengers returned, they said, we went to see your brother Esau, the man who promised that he would kill you, and now he's coming to meet you, and what's more, he's got 400 men with him. Wow, Jacob has the fear. Wow, he's fearful. He divides his possessions into two, hoping that at least half of them will be saved. If Esau attacks one half, the other half can flee. And he stays behind at the river Jabbok, and it's there that he wrestles with a man, verse 24, all night, with God, really. And God eventually dislocates Jacob's hip, and Jacob has to cling on a stick. He has to have a walking stick. He clings on to him, and he says, bless me. And God says, no, you're a cheat. You're no longer to be called cheat, but you're going to be blessed, and I'm going to call you Israel. Someone who struggled with God and held on. That's verse 28. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, verse 30, I saw God face to face. And as the sun rose, he was limping because of his hip. In other words, he was a changed man. He'd seen God. He'd met God. He'd never be the same again. His walk would be different. Walked with a stick. His ways would be different. No longer a cheat, but a prince. Was this his conversion? Was this his consecration? Was this his coming back after backsliding? It all fits. and one size fits all. And today, is this story your conversion, coming back to God, going deeper with God, time after backsliding? These are important spiritual lessons from these two spiritual encounters. Our time has gone, but listen, you can't flee from God's love, you can't flee from his presence or his protection, and you can't fight with God and win. And I just pray that, I know we've gone quick and it's been a lot of verses, but the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob might be a blessing to us in our day. Amen.